From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Yes, another rousing episode. Very patriotic tonight here, Bob. Patriotic vampire in the house tonight. Old Navy t-shirt. Old Navy does not sponsor this podcast.
Did you have to say that you were wearing it then?
But they,
if Old Navy turns out to be my one sponsor I get from my work.
They make very soft t-shirts, Bob.
I don't know, man. I haven't shopped at an Old Navy in 20 years, probably.
They're still around making the American flag yearly t-shirts. But back here on another episode of Bob After Dark.
Now, folks, we had to clean up the joint. We have a guest.
Yeah,
we had to make it look nice. So, and she's actually here in studio.
That's 2 weeks in a row we have people on the couch.
I know, and this is my first in-house female interview.
Is that true, Bob?
We had Kitsy Duncan.
Yeah.
And we've had Rebecca.
Zooms.
And we've had...
We've had a few, but they're all been on Zoom.
The other one, Kitsy Duncan's partner. Her partner in the paranormal world, and I can't think of her name, and that's going to drive me
nuts. We had a few illustrators, too.
We had, okay, yes, but in the studio.
In the studio,
yes. In the studio. That's why we had to spruce the place up a little bit.
The guys last week, they didn't care.
They don't care. No, no, no.
We didn't have to spruce it up for them.
Shout out to them, though, by the way. That was a kill. Like, I had to go through and re-listen to, obviously, when I edit things. Mm-hmm. What an interview, man.
Yeah.
So would you like to introduce who our guest is, as per always?
Yeah,
sir?
Well, you know what? Multi-talented. Has her hand in several different endeavors out there. But tonight, it's not about the other ones. This is about paranormal. It's about the cryptids. It's about the all things spooky. Lori, and this is a very Polish last name, Bob. Stasinski.
Yeah.
I stuttered on that.
It's phonetic. Stasinski.
I'm Polish too. I was trying to nail
Steve's
that.
Steve's gonna get you, man. Because can you pronounce Steve's last name?
Oh, no, don't ask me to pronounce.
Okay,
Steve's
that's last name. Now you're having trouble.
But you know what? I am a Polish vampire, and I was thinking about this all day. I hope I can nail the last name on the first try, Bob. It took me a couple times, but I got it right. Now, because you had a ski at the end of it.
Yeah.
You're for sure Polish.
For sure. And then ski actually means house of, so that means at some point I was, or my family was royalty. So you know, like Game of Thrones, like of house, whatever, my last name actually means of House Stanley.
Wow. So and Stanley is very Polish.
I know. Stosh. It's like there's always an Uncle Stan.
Yeah.
Uncle Stosh.
You're spelled STAS, so that's Stosh, right? Yep. So Stan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Bob is Polish as well. Very Polish.
Yeah, but me
tonight.
And you don't have the royalty last name.
We don't.
What does Anderson mean?
I don't
know. We are just peasants, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll just sit down and eat pierogi in the dirt.
Yeah, we in the dirt.
In the dirt, I guess. That's I'm just saying. My poor dad's rolling in his
Well, Panic, if there's garlic or anything on a pierogi, do you eat it out of like
I can't.
You can't. I know you can't, but like, you know, there's people who are lactose intolerant and will just partake in cheese because they like it so much.
It's tough. You know, it's tough. I end up melting, but it's I don't know if that's part of the lore or not. But I end up doing that. We got to get the vampire guys back in and ask them what actually happens when there's garlic. But I try. I just bear it with it.
What was I going to say? I had questions for them last week I didn't get to. Was the proper ways of killing. Oh, I did ask them
you
this
You did
question.
Ask it. But what I actually did. Happens when you give them the garlic? I mean, do they blow
they,
up or something?
Don't they burn?
Is it burning? Yeah, they burn. Yeah. Well, we'll get the answer for them next time. But that's not about it. Unless we could. I mean, listen, we could always talk about vampires, but.
Yes. So who are you and why are you on my show?
Yeah.
I am Lori, and I love, Bob, I love your show, obviously.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
I've
that.
I've called in a few times, I know. And then just having some paranormal investigation and experiences under my own belt and just kind of wanting to talk about that and the community and all that good stuff.
Bob, right off the bat here.
We have a caller.
219-845-1100 is the calling line. 219-845-1100. And the number, the red light is blinking, so we'll take the call.
We'll take the call live. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Panic, it's Veronica.
Hey, Veronica.
Hey.
So I'm wondering about our new guest. Have they been into paranormal investigations?
Oh.
And if so, what's the worst thing they've run into?
Wow. Questions right off the bat here.
Off the bat.
Veronica,
I love it.
Where are you calling from, Veronica?
I'm calling from Racine, Wisconsin.
Oh, we're big in Wisconsin.
We are. We are.
Have you ever been to the Mars Cheese Castle, Veronica?
I have, and please come back. We need more from Indiana and Wisconsin.
Yes.
Wisconsin Cheese Castle.
Yeah,
well, sounds good. We'll
cheese fudge
hopefully
beer.
We'll be back Wisconsin Comic Con. Let's put a pin in that one, Veronica. And thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Veronica.
No problem.
Appreciate it. We'll get to those questions here.
Yeah, so...
all right, cool.
Yes.
Have a good night, Veronica.
Thank you, Veronica.
Appreciate it.
You too.
Yes, yeah. I appreciate it.
I like Veronica's attitude.
Yeah. Veronica's got a very positive attitude.
And she had a question right after
that. She is a positive Paulie. Pauline.
Yes. She asked the question.
Positive Pauline.
She asked the question before you got to ask the question.
I didn't even ask a question yet. I just asked you who you are and why you're in the studio. And just some random person walking in off the street.
Well, we got Veronica. Veronica.
So I guess that's a great place to start.
That
is.
So you're a paranormal investigator.
Yes.
Yes.
Self-proclaimed. I'm not really registered. I know you have to be like official, but
you don't have to register.
Register with whom?
With whom, right? No, there's like special, like you need like a license to get to certain places. So
a license.
I'm getting there.
That
so,
hasn't stopped, okay. Bob.
So first of all, I love Wisconsin. That's like my second home. So I love that she called in. So the craziest thing that I've experienced was. So there's a cemetery in Crown Point, Indiana. I'm sure you've heard of it. They don't like...
Gypsy's Graveyard.
Yes.
I
was going to keep it discreet because you're not supposed
to
go
there. Oh,
no,
no, no, no. You're
you not
people,
supposed to
you
go
can,
there.
Yeah, no, don't go there after dark. The grave, the groundskeeper will shoot you. Facts.
Or the cops will get to you because that happened to me on my third visit where the cops had... I was a teenager, so they were nice.
Right?
Yeah, no. I'm actually... 33, so I just look very young for my age. I don't look so little. My little legs are like hanging off the couch.
We can get lost still.
But so the first time I ever went there, I was like kind of skeptic where I was like, okay, this is probably all hyped up, whatever. So I had some friends and we were like, you know, let's just go. Let's go check this out. We've heard people of going, seeing things. So I'm there and it's pitch black and it's me and these two of my friends. And it was dark. Like, this was dark, dark. Like, I know there's dark in, like, rural areas in Northwest Indiana, but this was a different kind of dark. Like, you couldn't see, like, your hand in front of you. Like, what is this vortex that is so dark? And as we were walking, it almost felt like the back of the cemetery kept going further and further and further. It really felt like we had stepped into some kind of other portal. And I'm not even just saying that. I know it sounds really, you know, strange, but, and like I said, I went in thinking, oh, this isn't going to be anything. Nothing's going to happen. We heard, and it was just us there. We heard like voices. We heard sighs. We heard moaning. We heard, there was a scream in the distance. Mm. It was like a howl that turned into a scream. And I don't know what animal around there would have made that noise.
Werewolf, possibly.
Possibly. and I've looked up all animals like foxes, coyotes, and none of them make this noise. So I have no explanation for any of that. And there was a voice that we all heard at once. And it said, I can't pinpoint what it actually said, but it was a vocal sound, and then all of us kind of looked at each other. We're like, did you hear that? And then everyone said, yeah, I heard that. So it was just hearing things at the same time, things that I can't explain. So I enjoyed it, and that kind of got me into, oh, I really want to start going to actual haunted places. So I went there two times. The third time, the cops got there before us, and we're kind of like, you can't be here. So we had to leave. But that was probably the darkest experience I've ever encountered. in terms of my investigations. And the reason I say, like, sometimes you, like, I've heard of groups that need to have a license. Like, they, the cop was saying something, you have to reserve a time slot or, like, a day.
Oh, that makes
that
more
you...
sense now.
Okay.
Yes, but, that makes more sense.
I mean, why, yeah. but... Actually happens though, Bob. They gotta give a license to a cop to
you
go
get
investigate.
A permission to be
like
there.
A permit
permission,
or
yes, but
yeah. Gypsy, permission is
that graveyard though seems like it's kind of condemned though, isn't it? Like they don't let people like Rita Rowe, Pete Rice, shout to Pete Rice.
He takes people out to
the Gypsy's
graveyard.
Okay,
is that the proper name for it? By the way,
Gypsy's graveyard. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, I thought
yes.
so. I've never been personally. I just always heard the stories about the gravedigger shooting at people.
And that was enough for you to stay away.
That was enough for me to be like, you know, like, I can dodge a ghost. I can't dodge a bullet.
yeah, I didn't know.
I'd rather
that,
not get
so.
Shot today. That's not on my list. So you're a self-proclaimed paranormal investigator yes. and cryptid zoologist, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes. So during COVID, I actually took a course online to become like an official cryptozoologist. Mm. So
did you get the test done?
I didn't. That's the problem. It's like one of those you go through the like the schooling and then you forget to do the licensing test, but it actually it was legit. Like they had a whole textbook that they sent me in the mail. Each chapter had each like a different cryptid, where they were from, what their origin is, like what they eat. I don't even know. And at the end, it would be at the end of each chapter, there was like 10 prompt questions that you would have to write in essay form and turn it into the people. So I got a few done, but this was around where I was finishing up my master's in counseling. So I was like, I'm done writing. I don't want to write any more papers. I'm just, if I don't have to do it, I won't do it. So, but I still have the textbook and there's still that window that I can get it done. So maybe
that's
soon.
My goal by the end of 2025 is finish my doctorate in cryptozoology.
Dr. Bob.
Really? That would be my official title.
Where would you get that from?
The University of fill in the
online.
Blank.
Okay. All right. Cause I was like, online. Yeah.
There's a lot of places that, a lot of places that'll give you a parapsychology
there you go.
Courses.
Yeah.
So, anywho, you're a paranormal investigator, self-proclaimed, yes. cryptozoologist, self-proclaimed, which, yes. for what it's worth, guys, I'm also self-proclaimed. But,
revelations.
So, we had plans for the show, but because some things came up, we had to switch up plans a little bit, which is fine. I have three news stories this week.
You do?
And we're going to get the hashtag Lori's take.
Okay.
And the hashtag Panic's take with
all
that.
Right.
All right. So our first news story comes to us from the New York Post, written by David Proper. A paranormal investigator known as the Real Life Scully is dead at 80, icon and a hero within the skeptical community.
Real Life Scully is in like X-Files? Scully?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
A paranormal investigator known as the Real Life Scully, who died last month, was remembered as an icon and a hero within the skeptical community, credited with cracking hundreds of mysteries. Hmm. Joe Nickel called himself the world's only full-time professional investigator, which isn't true, and was known for digging into the world's biggest myths before he died on March 4th at the age of 80 from an undisclosed cause, according to reports. The Skeptical Inquirer, where Nickel had his worked as a columnist for decades, wrote last month that he probed various enigmas, including historical, forensic, and paranormal. Joe was a hands-on paranormal investigator who could be found on the Queen Mary looking for alleged ghosts, or in a farmer's field investigating crop circles, or roaming the shores of Loch Ness looking for Nessie, or touring China studying traditional Chinese medicine and examine claims of Quogue monsters. That just barely scratches the surface, said Barry Carr, the executive director of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, which, along with the publication, is owned by the Center of Inquiry. Count, you're a member of that group.
Yeah,
you?
Of course.
I hope you're not. Pat, you know, it's funny. I think Pat is from Ghostly Podcast. Yeah. Like, I'm not even joking. I think Pat's a member of this group. Yeah. Which is actually really cool, because I find skepticism to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Joe was a true polymath. That'd be rough. I'm having troubles tonight. Joe was a true polymath who often let you in awe of his depth of knowledge in what seemed like a limitless number of subjects. He was a walking, talking encyclopedia with a never-ending curiosity to know even more and bring on the next mystery, Card continued in his statement to the outlet. What a treacherous loss. He can be never replaced. Carr called him an icon and hero in the skeptical community. Nickel, also known as the real-life Sherlock Holmes, told the New Yorker in 2002 that his goal was to conduct investigations with a kinder, gentler skepticism, which is important, by the way. As we talk about on the show, three levels of skepticism is skeptic, skeptic light, and skeptic heavy, kind of like a cigarette. skeptic no filtered.
Yeah. Really
like a Winston no filter. I think Winstons are no filtered. I don't know. I haven't smoked them in a while.
Marlboro guy with myself.
I'm tired of these debunkers coming in by my office and saying, hey, Nickel, seen any ghosts lately? Har, har, har. I'm not saying there's a 50-50 chance that there is a ghost in that haunted house. I think the chances are more 99.9% chance that there's not. But let's go look. We might learn something interesting as hell. He said on his website that in contrast with mystery mongers on the side of, the spectrum, so-called debunkers on the other side, he believed that the mystery should actually be investigated with a view towards solving them. And I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. He has also listed more than 1,000 personas that helped him with his job, including a magician, private investigator, federal fugitive, food server, beer master, and Bigfoot hunter. So rest in peace, Mr. Nickel, who I've never heard of up until this point, but I count we're going to be doing some look at his work here in the very near future, because good for him, and I always appreciate a skeptical point of view. So hashtag ladies first, Lori's take.
So I'm big on skepticism, too, and like if you can debunk something, I'm all for it. Like I feel like material and like things that people capture are that much more cooler when you can't debunk them, so by all means, please try to debunk first. I haven't heard of any of his works, anything that he investigated, but I want to know, how did he get paid for a living? If he did that for a living, what's the
income? He worked for the agency.
Okay.
And they put out publications and et cetera.
What's the income for someone who does that full time? I want to know, but... Yeah, no, rest in peace. And that's, we need those like pioneers to come through and, you know, just help out with finding things. If you're skeptic, awesome. And just finding things that you're not skeptical, I'm turning into you, Bob. skeptical about. There
Try
we go.
Saying your last name.
Listen,
that's the tongue. That adds the tongue twister.
Listen. If you're skeptical about it, and then you find something that makes you believe, I think that's awesome. But I definitely want to look more into what he's actually discovered and what he actually, more stuff that he did.
Hashtag con.
Yeah, for sure. I think it would be nice to learn more about this fella here, and rest in peace to him. But what did you say at the end there, Bob? You listed a few different things. Beer? He was a...
He worked with a beer maker, a food server, a federal fugitive, a private investigator, and a magician.
Wow. See, talk about, we got to know a little more about this guy. I mean,
we're going to be digging into his work. Yeah. We're going to be digging into his work for a future episode. We'll make sure to bring Pat on for that one.
Yeah. The more skeptics, the better, right?
We'll make that skeptic day.
Yeah.
I love that.
We did the top five hoaxes for April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Top five hoaxes in cryptozoology. So
lots of hoaxes.
It would fit. I think that would make for a good episode count. So let's put a pin in that one.
Put a pin in that one, too.
Speaking of things for a new episode, next report comes to us from the NPR, specifically in Colorado. This was published in back a little bit ago. However, it's still worth looking into.
Sure.
Navajo Ranger breaks the silence on paranormal encounters. Stanley Milford Jr. has stories that most people won't dare to believe. A seasoned Navajo Ranger, he spent 23 years exploring the depths of the paranormal on the Navajo Nation. From hauntings and Bigfoot sightings to UFOs and the mysterious appearances of coins that fall out of thin air, all of it happened on his watch and all of it left a mark. Milford, of Navajo and Cherokee descent, is a Fort Lewis College graduate who recently published his memoirs. The Paranormal Ranger is an account of Milford's time as a Navajo Ranger, during which he investigated supernatural occurrences around the res. the author juxtaposes his personal accounts with Navajo creation stories. The book is a personal account of Milford's 23 years as a Navajo ranger, and the rangers are a part of the Navajo Nation's Division of Natural Resources, and they're tasked with protecting the lands and natural sites on the res, or reservation, if you will. "We were assigned to investigate cases that were out of the ordinary," said Milford, "involving what was commonly referred to as paranormal or supernatural haunting cases, such as Bigfoot, UFO, extraterrestrial witchcraft, and skinwalker-related cases," which, in this case, folks, it's okay for me to talk about them because it's coming from the source itself. Remember, guys, I don't like to think that everything in the world is a skinwalker, because that is not ours, the story to tell. Skinwalkers are evil spirits that can take form and move on all fours. They're rarely discussed with outsiders unfamiliar with Navajo culture and beliefs. In The Paranormal Ranger, Milford shares one of his most guarded stories, hoping to shed light on Navajo traditions and supernatural experiences. He details in his investigation he was a part of in Windrow, Arizona. In 2 days, there were 66 U.S. coins that could be would port or just appear out of thin air and fall on the floor, or they would come flying across the room, said Milford. Sometimes they would hit us investigators, sometimes they wouldn't. Not as these 66 coins, they all landed heads up. "I witnessed with my own eyes 10 of these coins falling out of thin air, of nothingness, and that for me was a life-changing experience. It made me realize that the coins had to be coming from somewhere, some other space. From that time, the phenomenon followed me, and I began having the coins appear in my home that would fall on the floor or fly across the room," said Milford. Milford juxtaposes his personal accounts of paranormal activities with the Navajo creation stories in the book. These are origin stories of the world of the, and apologies if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but the Dine people, D-I-N-E with the slash above it. He says that he draws parallels between the Navajo emergent stories and what he experienced with these paranormal cases. "There's a different world out, a different world that the Navajo people came from. They came into the physical world from four worlds or five lower worlds. And when you look at the descriptions of what these beings described in the tales, they fit what I saw with descriptions of Bigfoot and extraterrestrial or alien beings," said Milford. Milford noted that he worked alongside 40 to 50 rangers as a Navajo ranger, and today there's less than 10 that do this sort of thing. So cop panic, you're going to be patient while we get hashtag plastic.
First of all, I want to know what this guy's doing to get money falling out of the sky. I want that power. I'll be waiting there with a basket. Be like, please come. Interesting. I've always loved like how reservations, Native American reservations, seem to have a lot of activity, because it's almost like their spirituality kind of lets it happen, allows it to happen, doesn't close anything off. And then obviously they're very ancient, and their ways were here before we were, so they kind of, they're more open spiritually to Mother Earth and all that good stuff. That's really cool. I've always wanted to visit a reservation for that reason, but like you said, there's certain things that you just have to be respectful about and not talk about it like you know everything. And because there's certain, and I hate that I'm going to say this, but the Wendigo, I feel like you're not allowed to talk about either.
Bob talked about him, I think.
Yeah, but I've talked to Ojibwe people.
Oh, okay. You got a pass.
You got a pass. So, yeah, I know there's certain things that you're not supposed to talk about as an outsider, because it's just something that's very sacred. But that's really cool. But I do want to find out about this money falling from the sky situation, because that sounds fantastic.
Yes. And hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, well, that'd be fantastic for anybody, I think. But, you know, as you mentioned here, Lori, they are very in tune with their spirituality. Mm-hmm. The paranormal presence is there. You hear about, you know, even the houses in Roxanne there. Some say, you know, built upon a burial ground. And you get a lot of people when they build things on burial grounds. Spooky things happen, Bob. So this doesn't take me by surprise one bit.
100%. If you guys are interested in the book, it's called The Paranormal Ranger, A Navajo Investigator Search for the Unexplained, written by the man himself, Stanley Milford Jr. In Count Panic, we put a pin into reaching out to this guy for an interview.
Lots of pins tonight, Bob.
Well, this one's important. This not saying the other. I've only given you two pins.
I think that was the third pin tonight.
What's the third pin? I only gave you two. I only gave you one. What was the other one?
Wasn't there something else?
I said we're going to talk about the gentleman's work, Mr. Nichols' work. Yes. And now we're talking about
Wisconsin.
Oh, we got to get back to Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, Wisconsin Comic Con coming up.
That was the third pin.
I think that's happening in the summer. We have a caller.
We do have a phone call. 219-845-1100.
Caller on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
And Sean, Carlton, how is your back?
And Lori, how are you guys?
Hello.
Sean, I heard you might not be calling in today. You okay?
Oh, no. Listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay. I only missed once. No, twice maybe, Bob. I'm a loyal listener, and you got an interesting guest on there. This evening, I've been watching her, listening to her.
Watching it.
So, what is your last name, Lori?
Stasinski.
What is it?
Stasinski.
Not John. Stasinski.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Stasinski.
Stasinski.
No, Stasinski.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, in Poland. Poland is Stasinski. Yes.
Now, can you speak Polish or no?
No, very little. My dad taught me maybe some cuss words, and that's about it.
The good ones, John.
Hey, that's all you need. That's all you need to know. Are you from the region?
I am. I'm from Schererville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
very Polish.
So happy Earth Day to you guys.
Happy Easter.
I don't know if you ever got into the debate of whether the Earth's round or flat.
Oh, that's a good question, boy. John.
Is that paranormal?
It is 1,000% falls into not my realm. That's more of a conspiracy theory realm. However... Yeah. As I always say, the world of the unknown is a bowling league. We all bowl on different teams, but on the same league. I have read extensive research from the flat earthers, and I give them, I don't believe in it myself, but I give them a ton of credit for what they do. Those people have like periodicals written, like they've written. They've got their own cited sources from doctors and scientists and stuff too, which again, I don't believe it myself because when I look out at the horizon, you can see where
it's.
But,
well, I tell you what, I kind of, learned something today. Matter of fact, I kind of seen a picture of what, the Earth really possibly looks like, and it's shaped of a pierogi.
Yeah. Oh. I think he was following the Mr. Pierogi page for that there, but. It could be.
I don't know. You know, if you guys know Mr. Pierogi, who he is, I never got to meet the guy yet, but
I heard him.
I think he posted something that the Earth, it's got a shape of a pierogi. So,
So now I have three shapes I got to sit here and think about.
Yeah, think about all these shapes.
Yeah. But anyway, Lori, you got interested in the paranormal by going to the cemetery?
Yeah. Well, I actually, growing up in the 90s, as a 90s kid, I watched The X-Files, actually. So that actually got me into the paranormal. And then my dad is a Roman Catholic deacon, so I kind of knew about all this stuff about, like, exorcisms and more things about the spiritual world and that kind of – and then my mom's side of the family has had their own experiences – I was just kind of born into it, the interest. So,
well, now that you mentioned about your dad, not to get personal, but he's a deacon now.
Yes.
In the Diocese of Gary?
No, Archdiocese of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Cause my question, I didn't hear right. I thought maybe you just stumbled into this cemetery in Crown Point and, discover what you said, and that's how you got started in the paranormal.
The cemetery is what got me thrown into like the world of it. So actually doing things, getting involved, going places, seeking out places that are haunted. The idea and everything and knowing about it's always been there. And obviously, growing up Catholic, you go into that. Not necessarily paranormal, but it's that spiritual element where there's the afterlife. And so that was obviously built into my beliefs as well. So I, grew up thinking, when people that I loved or my grandparents, when they passed away, I wanted to believe they went somewhere. So somewhere beyond here and that they're still with us. So in believing the paranormal and experiencing ghosts and spirits, that kind of helps my belief that that there is something more than us. So
yeah, very
that brings comfort.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, Bob, you got kind of like a Polish/Catholic night tonight. You know what? Too bad this show wasn't yesterday, because on Dingus Day,
could have
it would have been perfect too, right?
Yeah. Although there'll be water being thrown around. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of wires.
But Lori, you're
here.
A very interesting guest.
Thank
and,
you. Thank you.
I'll continue to listen, and you guys have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Bob.
I want to piggyback. I know you got another news story.
No, please piggyback all you want. My next news story is probably the most fascinating news story I've ever covered on the show ever. So I'll build up some tension
sure.
on that.
Well, just to talk about your dad being a deacon,
yeah.
and we had Father, remember Bob, Father Maginot from the Gary Demon House.
Yes,
oh,
that was a great
yeah.
episode.
He was on here, and he was
cool.
the priest in the whole ordeal there. Mm-hmm. But the subject of exorcisms, I don't think they like talking about it too much. Does mm-hmm. your dad ever say anything to you about at dinner? You wouldn't believe the exorcism today that was going on.
Well, he can't perform exorcisms. Only priests can. He can help out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been people that have approached him and said, this is going on in my family. We would like to be baptized ASAP because we think it's going to help. Can you come bless our house? There was a story within the last year, actually, that someone reached out to him in that manner. But me and him went to a seminar one time. We met the official exorcist for Chicago. They don't like to call.
No.
They don't like to talk about it.
They can't just do it, right?
You got
to get approval for that, right?
Yes, you have to get approval from the Vatican, actually.
Wow.
Pope. Which rest in peace,
I know.
Pope Francis.
Yeah.
But
there's people there right now probably that could approve this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
as
yeah.
The conclave and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. So you do need the approval.
Yeah. But that's interesting, though. You wonder about this, Bob. I don't know if you wonder about this, but how many people are actually in need of an exorcism out there? And I guess
we talk about it on the show often, the rite of exorcism or different beliefs. Remember, we had the rabbi come on and talk about Jewish mythicism and Jewish exorcisms.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the whole topic of getting rid of, bad karma, all across the board, from Catholicism all the way to witchcraft.
Right.
I always can appreciate that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, maybe one day we could do a ride-along, Bob, to the exorcism or something like that.
Well, I know the deacon that was assisting Father Maginot before his retirement, because I believe Father Maginot is now retired, right?
Okay.
I got to get the facts on that first.
Don't quote me on that, folks. Father Mike, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put you in the
retirement.
Home already. I'm not trying to put you in the priest retirement system, okay?
Yeah.
Not prematurely, but I thought...
I mean, after doing the Demon House, I'd retire, too.
Yeah,
I'd be this is it. This is it. I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh. See ya.
But
now you're ruining your microphone.
You know.
I'm messing with. I'm not used to it because I feel like Britney Spears when she goes.
Oh my goodness!
My loneliness.
You got to hold your. You got to hold your one ear while you sing there too, the singers do. But Bobby, so the deacon invited you.
No, I'm saying I know the deacon that assisted.
Okay.
I once sat on him on a paranormal bus trip, and he told me all the stories about the scratchings and all of the jazz.
Yeah. Oh. Got to get him on the show.
You say all the jazz, and I'm thinking, did the demon play jazz music?
Yeah. Could be.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Continue. Bye.
Yes.
Are you guys ready for the best news story I'm ever going to cover on the show of all time?
Tonight's it?
Yes.
Wow.
This is it. Right. My magnum opus.
Corpus Christi.
That is a joke that has survived way longer than it needs to come back.
Your magnum opus. This is what they're going to remember you by.
Yes.
This story that you told on the air.
Mysterious goats survive over 200 years on an isolated island with no fresh water.
Whoa. This is crazy.
This is from Oddity Central, one of my websites I go to for my paranormal stories. And I was so excited about this story because it's about goats, and goats are fascinating.
We love goats here.
Scientists are trying to understand how a herd of goats not only survived but thrived on an isolated island in northeastern Brazil for over two centuries without any known source of fresh water. It's not clear how exactly the goats originally wound up at Santa Barbara. Hey, I was able to pronounce that one. Santa Barbara, one of the five volcanic islands that make up the, oh no, A-B-R-O-L-H-O-S.
Sure.
A-R-C-H-I-P-E-L-A-G-O.
Oh, forget that.
You lost me at
Don't
the first
say
three.
It.
Yeah, no.
That's the whole alphabet.
Oh, my God.
It'll keep going, Bob.
It's about 70 kilometers off the coast of B-A-H-I-A. But scientists believe that they were brought and left there by colonizers. Livestock like goats, pigs, and poultry made for a reliable food source, but they were left usually behind when colonization failed. Their presence on Santa Barbara Island has been documented for more than 250 years, according to historical records, which is remarkable if we take into the account that the small island, again, has no fresh water source. Despite the inconvenience, and I quote, the goats thrive on dry, windy island to the point where they had to relocate in order to protect the endemic plants and animals. Then, last month, the Chico Mendez Institute for Biodiversity and Conservation, the IMC, the ICM Bio, which manages that marine park in that place I can't pronounce, carried out the removal of 27 goats on Santa Barbara after it was concluded that their presence was compromised the island's ecological balance, particularly affecting seven species of seabirds that breed in the region. However, the animals were not eradicated because the scientists want to study them, particularly the ability to survive on little to no water. We believe that the developed unique talents to survive, said the head of the National Marine Park, said, if their population hadn't been controlled, they would have taken over the entire island and self-destructed.
Like exploded?
Exploding goats?
Well, no, like they're... The system that they would set up would be a total...
Oh, like a disaster.
A disaster. If they let those goats stay on that island. Remarkably, in all of these years that scientists studied the mysterious goats of Santa Barbara, they never once saw them drinking water, which begs the question, how did they survive for two centuries? At this point, experts can only speculate. Some believe that the goats had adapting to drinking seawater and that their behavior was passed on to subsequent generations, while other credits Beldorogia, a plant with a high water content found on Santa Barbara for the animal's survival. But the goats of Santa Barbara weren't just surviving there, they were thriving. Researchers reported that most of the births on the island were twin births, story gets even more interesting, right? Which suggested that the goats were well-nourished and healthy. By studying the goats of the Santa Barbara Island, Brazilian scientists hope to decipher the secret to their extreme resilience, which could help develop new breeds better suited to survive the challenge of climate change and adapt to arid regions such as northeastern Brazil. Hashtag Lori's take.
She's stunned by this.
I know. I'm thinking. I'm like, wait a minute. Dang. I feel like the only thing that they can really do is, so they've never seen them drink anything? They followed them like for a whole day and didn't see them drink?
No. Apparently they didn't think to look where they were drinking.
I like the idea that maybe there's a plant that they're eating that's like gives them the moisture. Because I feel like there's no life on this planet that can survive without any kind of hydration.
I'm going with the plant theory myself.
I think it's plants.
Or the goats are cryptids, one or the other.
That too. But I think for reality's like sense, like I think we just need to get one and then dissect it and see what are the contents.
Oh, those goats are no longer alive. I could tell you, they might have killed them off already by studying them.
Well, now that's conspiracy.
Well, no, okay.
It's like they knew something was up and they're like, no, we got to kill them all. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
We're not going to find
them. They said they didn't kill them, guys, so I'm not the one. But if they're experimenting on those goats, I doubt they're hanging in there.
Yeah, what if it is just a big experiment and they just wanted to make a life form that's like, well, can they survive without water? I don't know. Now I'm shifting towards conspiracy theory with this.
Bob.
That's a great question. Hashtag panics take.
You know, well, I looked up the average lifespan of a goat is 15 to 18 years. So this is blows that out of the water. I know parrots live a very long time. Turtles could live a very long time. Goats, you know, just a general 15 to 18 years there. Bob, I think you hit it on the head when you said they're cryptids. I think these goats are cryptids. 200-year goats, Bob. That just doesn't happen. You could eat a plant. I don't think it's going to keep you alive for 200 years.
So these were goats that lived for 200 years, or there's
no. They did not live 200 years.
That's what I'm like. What are you talking about?
Wait, I got the whole story wrong.
No, you got the story wrong. They've lived on this island for 200 years.
Okay, that's what
so
I thought.
So generations of goat.
I thought the goats themselves were
200 years old. Every year they have twins.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is more believable, Bob. Maybe they're not cryptids, but yeah, it's the pride of plant then. I thought it was the one goat living for 200 years.
No.
It's an old goat.
What is wrong with you two?
Didn't you think that too? I thought that as well.
No.
The 200 years?
No, I don't think.
I guarantee somebody out there listening thought it was 200-year-old goat.
No, I took it as they're just a species that lived for that or that particular.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know.
That is fascinating, Bob. And that might be your magnum opus when they're going to remember you by.
I think it was a magnum opus test on the government's part, and they just wanted to see how they could.
We're not a conspiracy theory podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm going out of
You're derailing my show now, Lori. Lori After Dark, everybody. It's a conspiracy theory show. I'll be sitting here listening for the rest of the episode.
But what about we just talked about Flat Earth, too.
You didn't even ask me my opinion.
About Flat Earth?
Yeah, you didn't ask me about
so is the Earth flat?
No, it's shaped like a square.
A square. You know what they say about flat earthers, though? They're all around the world. They're all
and
around.
And that is why the Flat Earth Society is outside the studio doors right now, ready to get
right,
ready to
get us.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's stop talking about the Flat Earth and the goat conspiracy.
Yeah, you're making them mad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll be all right.
This goat thing's making me confused.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, my word. That was the goat joke of the night.
So that was the news story, right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the greatest news story I was ever going to cover is these goats.
Well, I got to take it. Well, then I'm going to take it back to the paranormal for one question.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Now, you talked about, Lori, your experience in the Gypsy Graveyard, but are there places in the region you just want to visit? I mean,
how
you heard things about.
Count Panic.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break first.
Oh,
that's not my question.
I got to take a break. Okay.
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Think
so, folks. We'll be right back for our podcast fans. You're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
And we're back.
We're back. That makes no sense for the radio crowd, but we're back.
I always tell them we'll be right back, but you're going to ruin the thing.
You didn't tell the guest. I'm ready, like, oh, we're getting a break? Just kidding.
Nope. No,
just kidding.
Well, it's not a real break. Well, I mean, yes, it is a real break.
For the podcast people.
Lori, what did you do during break?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what did I do? I went to Gypsy's Graveyard.
Hey.
Did you?
Yeah, no cops today. Saw a goat there. It was really
a goat
weird.
Was a 200-year-old
goat?
Yeah,
I asked it, and it said, I'm 200
Oh, so the goat actually talked.
Yeah, so now they talk. So I'm telling you. Yeah, there's more to it. Yeah, it was a great break.
Count, what did you do during break?
Bob, I took a sailboat, and I went to see if the earth was round or flat. I fell off the earth. That means the flat earthers might have something to this, Bob. I think there could be they have a case to be made. How about you?
Oh, you know, I took up a new hobby, Count Panic.
What'd you do?
I'm really, really big into kickball right now.
Kickball?
Ranked number one in NA right now.
Really?
Yeah. I joined the Professional Kickball League.
I didn't know you had a leg for it.
They call me Golden Leg Bob.
Oh, you really got a leg up on them.
That's it.
Yeah.
That the was show's over.
Show's over, everybody. Good night.
And cut.
Oh, boy.
But we're back officially.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
I'll let you ask the same question I asked before.
Lori, tell us about your adventures in the paranormal investigation world that's not gypsies.
So I did go to, so there was this, okay, I went to, it was a place, it was an abandoned old piano factory that they turned into like a mall where there was different vendor stores. And this was in like in the middle of nowhere, Illinois. And I went again with some friends. We were just spending some time out there in the country. It was really nice. So they hosted, because it was an old piano factory, it was said to have haunted activity. So we took a ghost tour. It was like at from midnight to like 4 a.m. we went. It was not really a guided tour. They go, they give you the equipment. So we had let's see, we had like an EVP detector or like a recorder, one of those voice, help me, Bob, those voice detector boxes.
Spirit box.
Spirit box. Thank you. Thank you. And those things are loud. Like the first time I ever used them, I'm like, oh, this is so loud. And we had this thing that detected temperature changes. So we were walking around, and the guy who was leading the tour before he sent us off, he said, okay, so they've been working on the roof or in the attic. So if you hear footsteps or banging, it might just be them working. So just so you know, it might not be paranormal activity. I was like, okay, cool. So we walked off. We were doing our investigation going. It was pitch black in there. Again, they didn't turn the lights off for anybody. It was a really cool kind of aura going on. And, of course, we're hearing stuff upstairs. We're hearing banging. We're hearing footsteps. We're hearing all this stuff. And then we're walking around. We're ignoring it. We're not thinking about it. And then we all had walkie-talkies since we all split off into groups. And the guy ended up walking all of us saying, yeah, so we called and there's no one here. There's no one here working on the roof right now. And we're like, we were just hearing all this noise. And as soon as he said that, the noises just stopped. So that was, and it was like a retrospect thing where every single time I experience something with the paranormal, it happens and I don't think anything of it until afterwards, and it's gone and it's done. And I'm like, I can't just experience it in the moment because it's always something that's like an after fact, like where I'm like, oh, that was something. Or, so that was that, experience. There was, so my, going back to like my childhood, my grandparents' house, they lived in East Chicago. It's where my mom grew up. And this kind of leads into like where I said, like my mom's side of the family has a little bit more activity stories than my dad's does. But their basement was used during Prohibition to make illegal alcohol, gamble,
nice,
have parties, yeah,
all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. So that was happening in my grandparents' basement before they moved in. And so I don't know what the timeline exactly is, but obviously this was past history when they moved in. So at night, my mom would say that she would hear like almost like a party going on in the basement. Like you could hear glass breaking, you could hear laughing, you could hear talking. It wasn't the neighbors. She kind of did her thing to debunk things. And so I thought that was really cool as well. And then when we moved out, my grandpa passed away in the house, and afterwards we moved my grandma out to the area to a better house, we found a scorekeeping board in the basement that was like tucked away, which was really cool, like because that's where they were placing like bets on horses and stuff.
Sure.
So there was proof that stuff like that was actually going on in the house. And then going even farther back, I'm kind of like going more of like where my family's origins came from here. My mom, so she's Mexican, and my great grandfather's brother, when they lived in Mexico in their village, he one night, I can't remember if he was sober or not. I'm pretty sure he was. He experienced like a horse-faced woman demon that was common in the area. And so it's kind of like almost like my Mexican side of the family, I would say, is a little more sensitive to things of that realm. So, and that kind of just brings it all the way back up to why, you know, certain things happen around me, and like, I'll see shadow people. I can see, I've seen UFOs. I've had an experience with like, I want to say Bigfoot, but I have definite proof.
We got to hear some of this stuff, Bob.
So the Bigfoot story.
My mom, big fan of the Bigfoot. But, yeah. She wishes she could meet Bigfoot.
You know, I had that talk with that Panic in the Region guy once. We went out to the woods.
We did. Bob and I, one time ago, Lori, back in the 70s, there was one sighting of a Bigfoot in Hammond in the Gibson Woods there. The person saw the Bigfoot might have been drunk. We don't know for sure. But the claim was there was a Bigfoot in Gibson Woods at one time in the 70s. So we had to go out there. We were close, I think, to finding it, but not close enough. You think you might have stumbled upon it.
I don't know what I stumbled upon. It was back when I went to my parents sent me away to camp for summer for like a week.
Indiana, or somewhere else?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. Okay. I'm always in the middle of nowhere. That's where all these things happen.
Yeah.
So I was so disappointed because I got the bottom bunk, and I was like, I want the top bunk, whatever. So I'm in the bottom bunk. I can't really sleep. So I'm tossing and turning, and then it's about 2:30 in the morning, and I hear this guttural low growl outside the window, and I see some kind of shadow, like, cover the window. So it was something big. It didn't sound like a canine of some sort, so I want to rule out coyote, wolf,
there's no bears
like that.
In Indiana.
And yeah, and it didn't sound like a bear or anything. So, but it was this low guttural growl, and it did sound kind of like just an angry old man, like just a human, but it wasn't, because this was like a private property. It wouldn't be just some homeless guy walking around growling into windows with children in the cabins. So that was just unexplainable. And then I just remember I fell back asleep. And then the next morning I tried to ask one of the counselors about it, and they were like, we don't talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. And they were serious. And
anybody
I'm like, all right, I'm not going to say anything. So there was that kind of experience where they were just like, we know, just don't tell anybody. We're not going to talk about it. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So that was my quote unquote Bigfoot experience.
Bob, I don't think you saw Mothman.
I have, yes.
I'm so jealous. He's
but
on
not
my
Bigfoot.
List.
Not Bigfoot.
But Mothman does frequent the Chicago area.
There's a whole documentary about it that I'm featuring on called Search of the Chicago Mothman, done by Small Town Monsters. There's a certain interview on there from a certain very handsome radio host.
Oh, shameful plug.
You should check that out sometimes.
That's awesome. I loved that there was that sighting that they said that was around Halloween. For Mothman. I don't know if it was around with Brookfield, Bolingbrook, around there somewhere. And the people that saw it and witnessed it was like, I thought this was just a stunt for Halloween. So when they say stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's so credible. Like, because
yes,
then you know it's not somebody just trying to like be like, oh, I saw Mothman. Of course I saw Mothman. Like, they legit thought it was a stunt. Like, they didn't think it was anything. Like, I don't know. I like those stories.
Do you put Mothman above Bigfoot? In terms of cryptids,
I was waiting for you to ask me. I'm like, you know that, but you know that question.
I know she. I know she does, but I can't.
Well,
name
talking about
it.
Me.
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna name the alter ego, but I know
the alter ego.
Mothman is a fave, but Bigfoot. I mean, Bigfoot's legendary.
What do you mean there, Count Pant? Hold on, gonna rewind that. What do you mean the alter ego? What are you going on about?
About you or her?
Me?
Oh, you. Well, I know you are actually. Well, I don't want to say it, Bob.
Thank you.
I don't want to ruin your identity.
I.
But also,
wow!
But
I think you just did.
But also,
I do not dress up in a moth costume, guys, and fly around. I
never seen you and Mothman together. Let me just say that.
I have though. Me and Mothman have been in the same vicinity at the same time.
By the way, if somebody was trying to call in 219-845-1100, it flashed for a quick second, then disappeared. Maybe it was a Bigfoot calling.
Maybe it was
Mothman calling him. But
well, we have a couple minutes left. 845. If you guys call back,
yeah, we got time. And you know what, Bob? Nessie, which I see you proudly displaying. I mean, Nessie.
On my shirt.
That's gotta be Nessie. My favorite there, Nessie.
Find that
Can't
big boy.
Yeah.
Find that big boy. That's what my shirt.
Not
is.
Found in Lake Michigan, though, all the way.
No,
up
we have our own Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I was gonna say there is a monster in Lake Michigan.
Have you seen it?
No.
No.
I have no
You're
proof,
out there.
But I know he's there.
And the UFO,
I
too.
I feel it. Yeah.
A lot of people, we had Pat, remember Bob, Pat, the veteran.
Yeah, from Veterans Views.
And he had a whole tale. Oh, before I get to that, we got a phone call. But he had a whole tale of UFOs as a kid and the men in black coming to his door. So that's very believable stuff there. Where was the UFO sighting, if I may inquire?
Around here. Around here? In northwest Indiana. Yeah.
People see some weird stuff around here, I tell you.
Yeah. No, it's...
We'll take it live, Bob?
Yeah, take it. I'm sorry. I thought you were doing that.
We're going to take it live.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I'm just checking in, Bob, and the count.
Hey, Bill.
Bill, long time no talk, sir. How have you been?
Well, I don't know when, you know, I when you guys are on sometime, but no, I've been listening. I haven't called, but I'm enjoying the show and your guests also. That's very, you know, because I'm in East Chicago and I hear these stories, so.
Maybe Bill was involved with the Before the Moonshine days.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Bill, were you running moonshine in your day, sir?
No, I'm not that old, but still. You know.
I didn't mean it like that.
I know what he meant, Bill. I'm on the same side as you.
Yeah, I've heard those stories and so forth. And a couple of weeks ago, you had about Club Cuyahoga, and then I got the story on that.
Yeah, so. We do. We go in. We do research here.
We do. We do investigations and research here, Bill. We try to be professionals.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's interesting. I'm sure it's interesting. Where I couldn't do it because if I seen a sign said "Do not enter," this means you. I'm out of there.
That's
so
smart.
You know,
Bill's the textbook smart one. Me, yes. Nah, I'm going right in. That means I'm gone. Bye. I'm in there.
Well, that's it. I mean, I believe in science and so forth. But like I said, the Club Cuyahoga thing, I used to umpire. I was an umpire there.
Yeah.
Not a vampire, now an umpire.
You do both.
A vampire umpire. That sounds like
Yeah, we're almost the same thing, you know. But I heard a story from an old timer. I don't know, something about him. I don't know if he was a homeless man or he had drowned in something. And every so often, people would get a glimpse of him out there. Mm. So I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, well, we definitely experienced some stuff. And then last week, I don't know if you heard the end of the show, Arthur chimed in saying at an event there recently, his wife and the kids saw a figure in the back room as well. So definitely some stuff going on over there in Club Cuyahoga.
Well, I've been in the building, so I mean, you know, I can understand. But like I said, I'm enjoying your program. I'm just checking in just to let you know I'm okay.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Okay. You guys have a good show. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes, thanks, Bill.
There you go. Bill right there. And another question, a text question from John here, just about we're going back to East Chicago here.
Yeah.
Was your family, he might know, either in Roxana or the 140th Street on the south side? Do you know for sure?
It was in
the harbor
on Parrish.
Harbor on Parrish. Okay, yes. I don't know if he knows or not. But
I know around there, too, because my uncles always went to hunt for hers. The lady in white. There's always a lady in white somewhere in a side road or something where it's always the tale. Either she died on her wedding or she died on prom night, got hit by a car. Mm-hmm. So I know there's one of those tales out there that my uncles used to go, and apparently they saw her at one point. Also when I say my uncles, these are my mom's brothers. So again, growing on that side of the family tends to see more.
But did they give him a ride?
No, I don't think so. But my uncle was in Vietnam. He was in the Navy, and he remembers seeing, lights in the water, like green lights and blue lights and things just glowing. And again, like he would, like it was one of those situations where he'd say something and then the commanders and people above him were just like, don't talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. So it's just weird because now they're coming out with this news that apparently UFOs are in the ocean. I don't know how true that is. But I know that's a big topic now. So I'm like, oh, well, he knew before everyone else did. So
broke the scoop.
Yeah.
Bob, UFOs in the ocean.
No, that was that's been a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You ever find one?
I don't do the UFO thing. You know,
spelunking.
I keep going away from ghosts, and I'm like, hey
no,
guys,
we cover all that here.
I'm a paranormal show.
Good.
I talk about everything,
yes.
Legends, lore, and supernatural things
good.
That go bump in
cryptids are a big UFOs and cryptids are a big thing here. Mm-hmm. Yolcat and
That's your favorite, Count Patrick.
Your cat's a good one, too. Yeah.
So, Lori, we are hitting our hour mark here.
Okay.
Last question. How do you kill a vampire?
You stab him in the heart with a stake and
like
a
medium rare.
No, I was actually just going to clarify. We're on the same page.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Like not meat, not with a meat stake, with a wooden stake, chop off his head. And then there's something else. There's one more step.
Sunlight, fire.
Yeah. They can burn in the sunlight, all that good. There's something else you do with them though. After you chop their heads off,
you burn the body.
Do you?
Yeah.
There's nothing else. I might be thinking, cause I thought there was some kind of material you have to put in their head.
That's an Eastern European thing.
Oh, okay.
They stuff their head with flowers and stuff.
Yeah. That's yes. Like some kind of herb, and it keeps them.
Good job, old country stuff.
Yeah,
you made
right.
Proud tonight.
Yeah,
but Bob, you never finished. I asked the question. You said we were going to ask it. You never asked it.
What was the question?
My question before the break was. No, I could open this up. I don't have to you don't have to keep it in the region here. You could do it anywhere, I guess. But or you could do one of each. A place you would like to go and just.
Oh,
kinda...
I didn't hear that part. I thought you said you've been to.
No.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, dream good investigation. Question.
Oh, yeah. That's hard.
Could be local. Could be anywhere.
My apologies, Count. No, I stand
okay.
Corrected.
Stand corrected.
Any penitentiary.
Yeah.
Any, because I have not been to any of them, and I just want to be locked up for the night and then just walk around.
Have you ever been to the Crown Point jail cell? I mean, it's not really.
Yes. I went there before it became a museum.
They still offer tours, I know.
They do, but I was one of those, I got in when I wasn't supposed to.
But
it was privately closed property. So I did get an EVP in there. I did get someone, it was a man yelling, hey.
Mm.
And it was from their basement. I put my recorder by the rusty window. And I picked that up.
See,
so that was my first EVP.
And that's the thing, too. Women tend to get more activity in these jail cells.
We get more action.
Yeah, because Bob and I go in there and sometimes nothing for us, Bob. Nothing for us from the ghost of John Dillinger.
Nothing.
Count's busy, popular with the ladies in the underworld, though. Let me tell you that.
The poker? The
poker game. Yeah, they liked him.
Yeah.
The Sasquatch look, I guess, just doesn't do it for the ghostly women. But
some ghostly lady out there likes it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, folks, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to pop in here, Lori.
Of
we appreciate
course.
You.
We got to.
You write a blog or something?
The show flies by.
I don't.
Okay,
I'll start one.
Yeah, I was going to say, plug your blog or whatever.
I got nothing to plug.
Do you have a book?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Now's I got nothing to plug, guys. But
that's fine. You don't want to plug your private Facebook, I'm assuming.
I can. I don't know the URL code for it.
Well, just Facebook.
Just look up Lori Stasinski.
You got to spell it, though.
Stasinski.
Excellent.
Well, that's the thing, too, as well, because you talk about, the experiences as a kid with either paranormal or cryptids and whatnot. You think, if you didn't have those experiences, though, would you be have an interest in all of this? Or do you think those kind of shaped you for having this interest?
I think I would still gravitate toward it because I'm naturally a weirdo anyway, which is why, people like Bob, people like how I find you guys. You guys just pop into my life and I'm like, welcome.
We're there.
And we find each other. The weirdos find each other. Let your light shine bright.
What a way to that's a,
that's
some
that's
good...
my quip. I was gonna ask for a quip like I always do, but I don't need it now because
let
you quip,
your weird shine bright
there's
so other
the quip.
Weirds can see you.
That's that's the title of the show.
That is.
Count, what's you got any closing final words for the audience?
I can't top that, Bob. Just everybody keep on having a great life, I guess.
Wow.
Let your light you said
let
that
your
already.
Weird light,
weird light
bright,
shine bright
so
but,
the other weirds can find you.
Yeah.
All right, folks, thank you for listening and watching to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me, Kyle Peck, and Lori, we just want to
hold on, my cape is stuck in the wheel.
You okay
always,
over there?
Always.
There you go.
All right, as I was saying, on behalf of all of us to you guys, we just want to wish all of you sweet dreams. To my mom, I just want to wish you good night. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing wherever it is that you're doing in the universe. And Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
memoriam development.